Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show with your morning show host, myself, Julie Calamine, and my co-host, Phil Huff. Hi, Phil.
Boo! Hi, Julie.
Let's not get scary right away, buddy.
But it's my favorite show of the year, Halloween show.
It is, and it's not quite Halloween, but it's close enough, and we're doing Halloween today.
It's the eve of Halloween Eve, or All Hallows Eve, so it's as close as we're going to get.
I think so, and tomorrow's an important day with the candidate forum, etc., so we can't be talking Halloween on an important Wednesday.
That's scary enough.
It is very scary. Well, we're joined by some really fun guests this morning, and Phil's about to introduce them, but I'm going to go into some not very scary weather before that. For those of you who have been outside and noticing, it is not very sunny in Sandpoint lately, and today is more of the same. We're looking at a high of 46 with a 20% chance of rain. Pretty slight, patchy fog, then partially sunny. Not bad. Tonight, we have a 40% chance of rain and a low of 40. And then Wednesday, rain, snow, then rain, Phil.
I think October came in like a lamb and is roaring out like a lion.
And it's a 90% chance, high of 44. Right. Tuesday night, a chance of rain, 37, and so goes the week. Every day, it's about a 50% chance of rain, highs in the low 40s and high 30s, and nights in the same kind of temperature category, low 30s, low to high 30s. So anyway, rainy weather ahead.
We had a good run with October. It's time to face it up. It's fall.
And I'm ready for rain because it's been awfully dry.
Well, this is a great show today. We've got a wonderful lineup. It's an all-star cast. We have the pair of normal Daves, or paranormal Daves, Dave Gunter and Dave Hussey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's nice to be here.
And from the Sandpoint High School Cryptozoological Club, second year in a row, and we just found out he's only a sophomore, so we get him for two more years. Shatil Lundgren. Good morning, Shatil.
Good morning, Phil.
So we're going to talk about all things paranormal, ghost stories, Bigfoot, and so much more. But we want to start off with a song by the performing duo, the Paranormal Daves.
Okay.
Can you tell us a bit about it?
Sure. This is a tune that Dave and I co-wrote, and we've added a little intro section in 3/4 time. The song proper is called Gypsy Summer, and the little intro section is called the Spectral Waltz.
Take it away, Daves. Thank you.
Wow.
If only we had a bigger studio audience.
I know. The Paranormal Daves. So tell us about the name.
Well, some people think that it means a pair of normal Daves, to your earlier introduction, Phil. But it's paranormal insofar as the way we met was absolutely creepy.
I'm still scared and shaking to this day.
There's a little bit of Sandpoint history. There used to be a steam plant behind the Panada Theater, kind of where the parking behind the Panada is now. And there are still corridors, cement corridors, through part of the downtown core, as far as 2nd Avenue over to the Masonic Temple and where Vanderford's is now. The steam plant used to supply heat to several downtown businesses. So that's why they had these underground tunnels. I happen to be in one of the area businesses that will remain unnamed, doing a little research for a Halloween article several years ago on this. And I heard, I swear, guitar music wafting through these corridors. Well, and I'll let Dave pick up the thread from there.
Well, it's a labyrinthian maze of concrete, and it's dank and dark, and every little sound transmits through this like echo chamber of these labyrinths of hard surfaced walls. And that music, I was sitting down in the steam plant. I don't know how I even got down there now that I think about it, because, you know, I didn't even know about it till now.
Yeah, it's
but apparently I was sitting down there, and I was just strumming my guitar and playing, and the sounds were wafting up through these steam vents, and David here was writing his article and gathering the information for writing one of his brilliant articles, I might say, because this was one that was far and away more brilliant than anything he had written heretofore. So, Dave, explain what the article was about.
Well, you know, it was about paranormal activity in Sandpoint, and I thought maybe it was a ghost guitarist, and I crawled my way through this labyrinthine maze of tunnels until I saw a small shaft of light, and in that spotlight, so to speak, was one Dave Hussey, who had managed to find his way down into the steam plant tunnels and put together an AirSats studio. He had a little music stand and a cup of tea, and he was playing. And fortunately, as I did the army crawl through the tunnels, I had managed to drag an ukulele behind me, never missing the chance for a jam. And one of our first tunes was written right there with water dripping on our heads. And that is the genesis of the Paranormal Daves.
And so are the conspiracy rumors true? The street projects this summer were simply to destroy your studio?
The street projects ostensibly were meant to destroy this underground network. But in fact, this is what they've done is create a heavily fortified underground kind of a shelter for when it all goes down. That's what I hear. The far right conspiracy people have decided that prepping's not enough. They need a place to hide downtown, and so I
sense a future show coming on. We're gonna have to have someone from the city public works department in.
Oh yeah,
sense a live show traveling through these corridors.
I'm sure they're all listening right now.
That's right.
they're always
unless
all
you have
listening.
Your tinfoil hat on, and then they can't hear what you think.
Of course.
That's a wonderful story. Please stick around. The Daves are going to continue to be on the show. We're going to hear more from them as a duo, and more of Dave Gunter's wonderful stories about the history, especially the sometimes shadowy history of Sandpoint.
But in the meantime, we have a very special guest who's been introduced, of course, and it's Shatil. And Shatil heads the Sandpoint High School Cryptozoological Club. That's true, right, Shatil?
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Well, tell us how it was founded and what you all are looking at and looking for.
It all started, you know, back in the summer of 2017, you know. And me and my brothers, we were just talking, about Sasquatch like we usually do, because we're hardcore, you know, hunters of the beast. And we're just thinking, you know what? More people need to know about Sasquatch in our community. So that's how we founded Squatch Club.
And is it mainly Squatch that you're in search of?
Yeah, mainly. But also, there's a lot of theories surrounding Squatch. So we follow, you know, alien sightings, UFOs, all that good stuff.
And there's our own Lake Ponderay paddler that's found, only here in Lake Ponderay.
And the Ponderay paddler, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Anything new on that front?
Not really. There hasn't been any too many reported Sasquatch sightings besides the Drumhiller sighting.
Oh.
Yes. Tell us about the Drumhiller sighting. I've heard rumor on the streets about it.
Well, Susan Drumhiller, I think, I don't know how long ago it was, but she was rafting on some river. I forgot most of the details, but she snapped a picture of a blurry being, which could have been considered Sasquatch and maybe is, you know. And she talked to me about it. I had an interview on in the Sandpoint magazine, and we discussed whether it was or not. It's pretty inconclusive whether it is, but my personal belief is that it is not Sasquatch. It is someone messing with them, or just some other elusive character of the wood.
Ah, so you're not easily lured into imitation Sasquatch sightings.
No, I wouldn't. I take my studies very seriously, you know.
We know Susan Drumhiller. Yeah. She's a journalist. Did she get any samples of scat or hair or...
I don't think so. She was going by probably pretty fast. She was on the river. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Hmm. We must follow up on this one.
Follow up on the Drumhiller lead.
Yeah.
Other recent sightings? Have you been successful in trying to find the hairy beast?
No, I haven't. I've been going out a while. I've been trying to, like, you know, look at past sightings and triangulate a position where it could be. But I think that for now, like, basically how Sasquatch sightings works is they come in flaps, you know. For, like, a couple years, there'll be a lot, and then it'll calm down. And I think we're at a really calm point right now.
They're lying low. There's a lot going on out there. Tell us more about your travels, how you go. You told us you triangulate, but is it you and your brothers? Do you go alone?
Well, I have a pretty solid crew. I have a couple friends who are also into hunting Sasquatch. My brothers are in college now, so we don't have enough time to go squatching anymore. Pretty sad, but yeah, I usually look on the popular Sasquatch like report website, BFRO, or the Bigfoot Research Organization website, is pretty solid.
Can one Google that? Is it an org?
Yeah, it's a www.bfro.org. BFRO.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how do you connect with your colleagues around the region?
Around the region, usually? Well, I usually just connect with people like inside my school, but actually, I've been doing a lot of research into ghosts, because I used to be really scared of ghosts, you know. I was like, don't mess with the ghosts, you know. Aliens were fine, Squatch was fine, but ghosts. But actually, I have he's not my uncle, but I'll just call him my uncle, because he's a very distant relative who is actually a ghost hunter in Boston, pretty high level. And I've been talking to him a lot lately about ghosts.
Hmm.
Pretty cool, because there's actually a lot of theories about out there that Sasquatch is a ghost of like a primordial being, you know, like prehistoric.
I think one of the things Squatch potentially has in common with ghosts, initially people fear them both. But oftentimes they come to us for reasons that we shouldn't fear.
Yeah, Sasquatch is I believe he's a very loving and kind creature, you know, and there's been a lot of reports where he actually will save people from avalanches and starvation. One of the common reports, this isn't Sasquatch, this is considered Bigfoot, which is like, it's basically the genus. Like, Sasquatch would be considered the species and Bigfoot would be considered the genus. This covers like Yowie, and which is lives in Australia, and the Yeti, which is in the Himalayas. And basically some kid in China got lost up in the mountains, and a Bigfoot-like creature came and helped him. And actually, he was able to communicate with it for a while, because he spent a lot of time with it in the snow. And it said its name was, I believe, Wabu, the Sasquatch. Or, no, Bigfoot. And I just think a lot of those stories, there's too many stories of Sasquatch being more of a helpful being than a violent one. So I think we should all love Sasquatch instead of fear him.
There you go. Shatil, is there anything, I think there's a theory that Sasquatch, whether the species or the genus, might move from dimension to dimension. Do you think there's any truth to that?
I've actually been looking into the interdimensional Sasquatch theories recently. I've been reading these three books, I believe, now. One just came out on it. And I don't think there's, like, it's mostly the evidence that they have is mostly just, like, situational. Like, just stuff that they said happened. I don't think there's enough solid evidence to follow that up.
You're a pragmatist, I can see.
Yeah.
So why is Squatch so shy?
I believe it's a lot of, like, there's not that many of them, you know? And so they have to be pretty cautious when it comes to making new friends, you know? And us humans, we're pretty rowdy when we go into the woods. We blast our music and go around in our big trucks. And so I think Sasquatch is just very, very scared of us. Also, with like deforestation and logging, they're losing a lot of their habitat, which is one of the biggest problems. Like in the Washington Peninsula, the Olympic Peninsula, there's a lot of logging going on, and that's really affecting the Sasquatch population, I believe.
Yes, prime Sasquatch habitat, I would guess.
So how widespread is this species? Is the Cascades Sasquatch the same as ours, or are they?
Yeah,
different?
Yeah. Basically, I would personally. There's a lot of It's not really a, like, standard science, so a lot of people haven't, like, put down set rules. But I would say, personally, that Sasquatch is Idaho, Washington, Oregon, and California, and some parts of Montana, and, like, western Montana. Everywhere else I'd consider Bigfoot, because there's actually a lot of different, like, variations in sizes and, like, foot lengths. So it's really good to categorize them. Like, there's the swamp ape of, like, the southern regions, like Louisiana. And it's just hard for, like, new researchers to get a good grasp of what Sasquatch looks like when there's a lot of different people saying what Sasquatch
looks like. So true, taxonomy. Well, we've talked a bit about Sasquatch. We were talking about ghosts a bit ago. Should we bring in the Daves and have a ghost story?
Sure.
Well, since ghosts were mentioned, and yeah, don't mess with the ghosts. I think those are good words to live by or to die by. there are a couple of purportedly very haunted places in San Juan. We talked about this last Halloween, as a matter of fact. The most haunted places in Sandpoint is the Panada Theater.
Oh.
And there have been a couple of crews of ghost hunters there. The most recent was probably 6 years-ish ago. And they brought a truckload of technology with them. They had motion sensors and night vision cameras and all sorts of microphones and tape recorders around the place.
All things that ghosts scoff at.
That's right. Ghosts laugh at those things. But they did get one bit of audio from the balcony. And there was a male voice and they played it for me, and it was tough to figure out, but if you change the EQ and bump the volume, it sounds like the voice was saying, "Not up here."
Really?
Not up here. It said a couple of
times.
That
wasn't just Bill in the projection room?
No, it wasn't Bill. I think it was Floyd Gray, Mayor Gray, Farmer Gray, who also made sure that the kids weren't making out in the balcony. So he's still on duty, apparently, up there.
Sensible comment.
Yes.
Getting chills.
So we're anxious to hear another tune.
Well, be anxious no longer. Here's a tune that Dave wrote about a haunted hotel, not unlike the one in Colorado from the movie The Shining.
The Stanley.
The Stanley, yes, as a matter of fact. And
that's what this is about.
That's what this is
about. This is a revelation.
Yeah. And this was from a night we spent songwriting in an abandoned hotel back when the Davenport, as a matter of fact, before it was turned around. Dave and I spent a night roaming around the halls of the Davenport. And
clearly we've been doing this for some time.
Well, songs, I wanted to interrupt and ask, what brings you guys to these places? It seems like odd places to be playing ukulele.
I think the most interesting music comes from the most unusual circumstance. And inspiration is related to the type of energies that you feel viscerally.
Yes, put another way, unbridled fear is, sparks creativity.
Yeah. I'm sensing past lives might come into play somewhere, too.
It's the, this was either going to be called A Moment in Time or Fight or Flight Syndrome.
So we ended up with A Moment in Time. Shall we?
We shall.
Time.
A Moment in Time.
Yep.
You know, in your first song, I thought I heard a little bit of Stray Cat Strut. That was a really energetic song. I loved it.
That's so funny. I was thinking about that song this morning, and Stray Cat Strut
came to mind.
Into my head.
But this one's so mellow and really ethereal. A bit ghost-like, I would say.
It's ghosty.
It's ghostly.
They fit your genre that you're defining for yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We take everything as a compliment, whether it is or not.
That's always good. Just say thank you.
Thank you, no matter what.
It makes the person that's speaking to you feel good.
That's true, yeah. That's right.
So let's go back for a little bit to other happenings at the Cryptozoological Club in Sandpoint. Where's the club going from here?
I think right now we're at a point where we're really going to go into more hunting Sasquatch. You know, last year we did more about talking. We just would like go and discuss like all the theories, like whether it was interdimensional or a ghost. And now we're really getting in. We have a pretty good group this year, and we're definitely going to get into hunting it.
Now, to be clear with hunting, there's no season. Idaho
Fish and
Game has established one. So you're talking about like with a camera or recording.
No, yeah. Not like in Douglas, Wyoming. You know, the jackalope, the rabbit with the antlers. They actually have a hunting season for that. It's like some day in the summer at like midnight, it starts for like 24 hours. It's pretty cool. I actually got a pass last year. What's it called?
Say,
a permit.
If you can get a few out-of-state folks to buy permits, it helps the coffers.
Yeah.
Jatil, how large is the club?
Right now we're about 15 people. Some people like come in and out, you know. But we have like a solid group of about 7 who are really into it this year, which that's good.
Now, I remember from last year you were in conversations with students from other local high schools to help them establish their own.
Oh,
clubs.
Yeah. Well, a lot of high schools, I guess, just aren't as tolerant as Sandpoint, you know, because they weren't really too enthusiastic about Sasquatch Club. Mm. So
takes a certain personality.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
This.
Yeah.
And a certain size of the student body to have enough folks that might be interested in that topic.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, true. Are there plans to start studying other cryptozoological beings, or are you going to stick with Sasquatch for a while?
I think we're just going to stick to Sasquatch for now. I know the vice president, Seth McCutcheon, who couldn't be here today because he's indisposed. He's pretty sick today. He's actually believes he's been abducted by aliens multiple times, and he wants us to start researching more aliens, which I'm pretty into. I'm pretty interested in aliens.
Mm-hmm. And that's the extraterrestrial kind.
Yeah, not the illegal kind.
He wasn't abducted by Canadians.
No.
Okay.
Well, I wonder if he hasn't been abducted today. It is the day before Halloween.
Yeah,
maybe he's not sick even.
He did disappear on us rather quickly.
Yeah.
It wasn't his voice when he called.
Oh. Yeah. Or it certainly didn't sound like him.
Hello, this is Seth. I have been abducted.
Well, if he's out there listening, we do miss him and wish him the best and safe returns from whatever planet he was taken to.
That's right. Seth, come home.
Yeah. We live stream across the universe.
We do. Well,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I've heard that Sasquatch can be not just benevolent, but also has a sense of humor. I've heard of stories. This is from some Native American lore. I've heard that a Sasquatch will find a person asleep perhaps in their tent or sleeping bag, and then carry them deep into the wilderness and just drop them off to find their way back.
Yeah.
Just as a joke.
Actually, I've actually heard about that in the book, what is it, Tribal Sasquatch. It's actually at the library. Yeah, that was the original stories of Sasquatch that came out by the Native Americans. They portrayed him as more of a trickster. Well, in some cultures, in the, like, over by like Skookum Valley, I think it's called. They believed him to be a trickster, but then in places like California, they called them crazy bears, I believe, and they were actually like considered like children of the gods, you know.
Hmm.
So that's pretty interesting stuff.
Right, it is.
Hmm.
Goes back a long way.
Yeah.
So if Sasquatch is listening, and we aren't set up really to take live in calls, so this is hypothetical, but if Sasquatch called in, what would you want to say to him, her, it?
I don't know, man. That's a deep question. I'd have to think about it. Probably just like, you know, I've always been a big fan of Sasquatch, so I'd probably just talk about how much Sasquatch meant to me, you know, because as growing up, you know, with, I mean, no one can see this right now, but I have pretty big hair, you know, and I'm a pretty big guy, but a lot of people, you know, thought I was Sasquatch. A lot of people ask me that as a joke, but, you know, I wish I was, because he's a pretty cool guy, you know, he just does what he wants, and he doesn't care about, like, society. He's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go out into the woods and run around, and I don't care if anyone believes in me or not, so that's pretty cool.
That's important, I think, to have that, to recognize that forces like that are out there.
Yeah.
That are pretty cool.
It does add life to our times in the forest, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Things to think about.
Yeah. So, you know, with that as a last minute segue, you know, we've talked in the Halloween show last year, Dave, about ghost stories. And we focused a lot on Sandpoint. You're a great Sandpoint historian. Do you have any woodland ghost stories for us?
You know, talking about Sasquatch, my wife Tammy and I do a lot of hiking up in that cool trail network up around Syringa, Sherwood Forest, and all of that. And there is either a very persistent and not very quiet bear up there, or there's some creature, I know not what kind of creature, that lurks on a particular part of the trail. And I'll even say where it is, because I think the people who will hike in this far are going to be generally cool people. Right up at the sign at the trail juncture where it says Greta Segway Pine and the other way says Sherwood Forest, if you take that steep hill straight up, there are two dark, kind of dark, creepy forest parts on either side where most of the ground is covered with deadfall and the trees look a little bare. Every time I go up there, I hear a loud crunch of branches off to my right, heading up that hill before you go down and jump down into Sherwood Forest in the same spot. First time, I've never hiked uphill so quickly as when I heard that. And now when I hear it, I always just stop and look over that direction and say, "Hey, man, good to hear you again. You know, I'm cool. I'm still just hiking, and everything's okay. Be fun to see you sometime. Haven't had a sighting, but I strongly feel the presence, and I hear the crunch of some sort of footfall over there. So,
Jatil,
there's something
a tip
there,
for
man.
You. Place to check out, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty interesting stuff. But I was just on the topic of ghosts. I was going to say one reason that it's theorized that, like, Sandpoint has a prevalent ghost, like, is a prevalent ghost area is actually it's theorized, or I don't know the word, but it's believed that ghosts are more attracted to water because of the electromagnetic fields it puts off. And that's why, like, the Great Lakes region is, like, prevalent with ghosts. And we have the lake, so, yeah.
And drownings can happen.
Yeah, that too. You
know, my layman's understanding of the ghosts are that they're still here with us because there's unfinished business they need to resolve. There's someone they need to help. And Lord knows there's a lot of people around here that need some help. So there could be a lot of ghosts.
Correct. And speaking of ghosts, Dave, do we have another ghost tale of Sandpoint you could share?
Well, the helpful ghost story. The other purportedly very haunted place in Sandpoint is the train depot and the train platform there. And I think I shared this story last year, but I... one time when doing some modeling photography, which was something that I used to do, I was backing up down the platform, and I felt myself bump into somebody. And I embarrassedly turned around and said, "I'm sorry, pardon me," and there was no one there. But one of those hair on the back of your head rises up moments where I just knew that I had walked through some sort of spectral presence there. A few years later, when I did the big feature on Haunted Sandpoint, I took a psychic there with me around town, several places actually, but I took this psychic there, not telling her anything about things that I suspected. She had said that the depot was full of ghosts, people who were trying to get someplace and come back every night to get to wait for this train, and they never get where they're going. But I said, well, I'd like you to see one other spot. It's this way. And so I was walking along, and I knew right where this was because it's right by a lamp post on the platform, right at the spot where I knew I had had my encounter. She stopped and gasped and said, there's someone here, which was one of the most exciting and scary moments of my life. And she said, it's a woman. She's waiting for someone who left but never came back. And she's still waiting. She's still waiting right here for him to come back. And she can't let go. So there on the platform, walk slowly. When you cross past one of those lampposts, you may encounter this this waiting lady.
Goosebumps.
I have a theory. I believe that many of our ghosts are not necessarily a creation of our own minds, but I think, and I'm coining a new phrase here, I'll call it persistent memory manifestation syndrome, which is where our own memories are so strong and our inability to let go of them are so persistent that we can manage to create all of the aspects ephemerally of a particular former human being, or animals too, because we see, you know, ghosts of our beloved pets and other things as well. So anyway, that's my take on not all cryptozoological activity. However, I think there
is paranormal
as well. But I think that there's a certain percentage of these experiences that are a type of manifestation that we are able to create through our
energy
determination
patterns.
To hold on to a thought or an idea.
I think PMMS, the other PMS,
PMMS.
Yeah,
it's an interesting theory, and it might explain ghosts that travel around with each of us individually. But so often we hear of ghosts. I hate to call it ghost stories. That implies they're not real. But ghosts that are attached to a specific place, like the depot or a house or a place, and they stay, and they seem to be, many people seem to experience them.
Mm-hmm. True.
Well, it's actually interesting that you talk about PMS, because there's actually a phenomena like that that's prevalent in a lot of shamanistic societies in like Europe, Asia, and a lot in Native South America, and they call it the technical term for it is thought forms, and basically our thoughts exist on more of an ethereal plane, and if we think about it enough and like attach strong feelings to it, like love or hate, it'll actually manifest in the real world. So that's pretty interesting.
So that's related to PMMS.
Yes.
Yes.
We truly do create our own destiny.
Yeah.
We do.
The other one can be scary too, though.
Very much so. Say, Dave, an area of Sandpoint that I know very little about, but enough to know that it's historical, is the area where the Chinese opium dens and the brothels used to exist. Any tales from that area?
Lots of stuff from that area. Still to this day, energetically, that's a very active part of Sandpoint, albeit now covered in gravel and cement and the byway, but that was the original township of Sandpoint. You talked about water and the paranormal magnet that it is. Sandpoint was originally right on the water with the railroad tracks right at its back, and opium dens, several brothels, hotels, a couple of historic houses, all now gone. also the Humbird Mill right down there. And but there are parts of all that on the old on now the Pondere Bay Trail that where you can you can and probably will encounter some sort of activity. But one particularly hot spot is that little parking lot on the east side of Bridge Street. You park there to get on the Sand Creek bike mm-hmm. path. And that particular spot used to be where the motel was. I can't remember the name of the motel anymore, but it was right there in the water. And that hotel was reportedly extremely haunted. People would say that they'd hear, you know, people in the hallways or go down to get ice and see someone dressed in 19th century clothing walking down the hall the other way or rounding a corner in front of them. So there's still some early Sandpoint pioneers apparently hanging out down there.
Well, you know, byways and concrete are no match for the spirit world.
That's right.
They'll persist.
And I wanted to interject, too, that I have a lovely Ross Hall photograph taken many, many years ago of the Indian Stick Games in that very area. And so the habitation of that particular environment goes back at least, I imagine, at least 1,000 years, maybe more. Mm.
There were some pre-Columbian artifacts there when they did the big dig underneath all of the whiskey bottles and the broken opium pipes and the cast-off jewelry and that sort of thing. A couple of layers down, they found all sorts of First Nation artifacts.
I would imagine if we really dug into this topic, none of us here are probably qualified, but there are Native American ghosts that are inhabiting these areas that if we had the right people in, we could experience them.
Yeah, I think definitely so. I mean, the other ghosts are relative newcomers. I think that there is a shamanic vibration there that is that shamans call upon. I mean, talk about being able to step through dimensions. That's a lot of what shamanic work is all about. And these ancestors, these wise ones, they're if we're lucky, they're still all about us, and they give us a little shoulder check when we're about to go into the ditch.
I think that's a fine note to end sort of the interview portion. Do we have one more song to take us out for the rest of the show?
We do, as a matter of fact, and this one is aptly named Imaginary Friend.
That's great.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Paranormal Dave's, Dave Conder, Dave Hussey. You got to be playing somewhere tomorrow night.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll figure that out.
Sign us up.
That's a lost opportunity.
By the way, right. I just want to say how much I enjoyed hearing about the high school club. Man, I was either born way too early or you were born way too late because we had the exact same hair when I was in high school. I would have fit right in.
That's good.
And you're about the same size. Jatiel Lund Anderson, thank you for joining us this morning.
Problem. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
And Dave Hussey and Dave Gunter, I thank you both. Great music.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. Well, with that, we can take a short song break, Phil, or head right into morning show events.
What do we have time for?
We've got time for both.
Let's take a short song break.
We'll do. This is not by the Paranormal Daves, but it is appropriate for Halloween. Let's hear the Eagles with Witchy. Ooh, Witchy Woman, Phil, by the Eagles. Perfect. Perfect for today.
Great Halloween song.
It is.
And what a fun show.
It was fun, and I learned something, too.
What did you learn?
Well, I learned a bit more about Sasquatch, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's right. We can always know more about Sasquatch.
We need to know more about Sasquatch.
Well, since it isn't quite Halloween yet, we need to talk about upcoming morning shows. We've got to be serious for a moment. And tomorrow, I hope you'll tune in and listen on Halloween Day to Susie Prez and Chris Bessler with candidates about the issues. And the invited guests this week are candidates for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. So that's tomorrow. And then on Thursday, it'll be Jack, sans Jim, and with a topic unannounced, but it'll be a good one. Next week, Phil, that's next Tuesday, the 6th,
Election Day.
Yes, it is. And it's also the day that you and I will be interviewing Marilyn McIntyre, along with Britta Meyerly and Shelby Herber from Friends of Scotchman Peak. We'll be talking about Marilyn, but then also about an upcoming event from Friends of Scotchman Peak.
We give voice to people who don't ordinarily find their voice in the community, and Marilyn's lived here off the grid more or less as a pioneer lifestyle for 3+ decades.
So yes.
Really interesting woman and experiences, and you'll want to hear what she has to say.
An artist, a farmer, a gardener, everything. An observer of the forest. So she is great. Then next Wednesday, it's more of the same with general election. And again, that's Chris and Susie, and we'll be hearing from them on the 7th. And then next Thursday, it's Jack and Jim again. Jack is back and Jim is back with Emily Levine from the Farmers Market. So lots going on here at KRFY.
And lots going on this week. Just a ton of stuff, especially on Halloween night, tomorrow night. I'm just going to read through the titles. If you want to find out more information, you can go to your friend Google or Sandpoint Online for their calendar listing. But on the evening or afternoon of the 31st into the evening, we have Trunk or Treat in Hope at the Davis Grocery and Mercantile. The annual Trick or Treat at City Hall, that's Sandpoint City Hall. These are geared towards school-age children. We have Bonner County Historical Museum Trick or Treat. The Trick or Treat Warming Station at Christ Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. Magic Wednesday at Jalapenos. The Little Shop of Horrors and The Shining Double Feature at the Panada Theater. The annual Monster Mash Under 21 Party at the Low Boil Productions, and the Halloween Party at the 219. That's a 21 and over, I'm sure.
21 and under, actually.
At the 219?
Oh, no, 219. No, 219. The hive is 21 and under.
The hive is 21 and under.
Yes.
Get your kids straight into the right room. They're kind of close, so
I suppose you could
drop the kids off at the hive and go over to the 219.
Sounds like a plan.
That would be my style of parenting.
That's right. We have time for about one more film.
Sandpoint Film Festivals this weekend. That's always a fun thing. The regional and national films that screen at the Panada Theater during this 3-day event are not to be missed. Film blocks are at noon, 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. on Saturday. You can get more information at sandpointfilmfestival.com.
A great way to spend a rainy Halloween week. Well, that's it for us folks at the Tuesday Morning Show. And in honor of our crypto club friend, Jatiel, we'll now hear the Kinks with Ape Man. Have a great Halloween and a great week.